Please open your Bibles to Matthew. Now, what children love about Christmas, you know, it's true, they love the presents. And you remember your friends asking you, what did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? That's what everybody asks. And think about that the next time somebody asks you. Say, I got this and I got that, but let me tell you something. I got something that lasts forever. And I hope that you have received that same something. God's great salvation. Belated Christmas present. We bow before your holy name and celebrate this day you came. As wise men bowed before you, King. Dear Lord, accept this song we sing, just what I always wanted. Of all the presents, Lord, you are the Christmas presents the poor could not afford. Welcome, O holy presence, a king in swaddling clothes. Though we unworthy peasants, you cared about our souls. You came from high in glory to such a lowly place. And with your Christmas presents, you brought your saving grace. Just what I always wanted, though I could not find the words. And just what I always needed, your voice, the best I've heard. You came to die to save us and pay the price for sin. The greatest gift God gave us is your presence now within. Welcome, O holy presence, O gift of God divine, with gold and myrrh and frankincense. Accept this heart of mine. Father, we bow before you, asking you to once again encourage, bless, enlighten, motivate, move. Thank you, Lord, for your unspeakable gift. Help us, Lord, to realize that you've called us for a purpose. Help us to realize that you are working in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. And I pray that we would once again dedicate and rededicate ourselves to that service. In Jesus' name, amen. If you didn't get one of these little poem books, pick one up before you leave. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a strange and unusual delegation was ushered into the presence of a king. Someone once said that a monarch's crown is heavy and every throne sits on shaky ground. And so the earth must have shook beneath Herod's feet, and his heart must have trembled as the news sounded like a distant thunder as he spoke and heard of an awesome wonder. Of a star leading from afar, announcing the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy, the birth of a remarkable king. We can almost see the brow of his forehead contorted into a frown as he lifted his nervous finger to make sure and secure his crown, and was relieved to find it was still there. I imagine the pupils of his eyes contracted with suspicion, like a tiger detecting danger, as he sniffed the air and shifted back and forth, gazing from stranger to stranger at these who called themselves magi. What magic was this now being performed right before his eyes? The question echoed and reverberated in his mind like ripples caused by a stone tossed into a pond. The question sounded like trouble. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we are come, we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Herod tells us that, history tells us that Herod's journey from the throne left a trail of blood in its wake. And his own conscience, according to historians, caused the ghosts of his wife and his own children, whom he murdered, to trouble him and torture his mind with paranoia. For us, it is a wonder that he did not leave his throne room and, like the woman at the well, leave her water pot, left her water pot, and follow the wise men to wisdom itself and find true peace and salvation. Not only did God send wise men to give him an opportunity to be saved and find forgiveness, God practically raised Micah from the dead so that the prophet could point to the very spot, the longitude and the latitude of hope for the whole world would be there waiting. Scribes found the book, the chapter, the verse, and put it right under his nose as if to warn him and the whole world where they could find him. And so everyone is without excuse. If he had not done so already, God will send wise men and stir your conscience and hold open the door of opportunity and bid you enter. He will bring you his word, perhaps brought by Micah himself, and you will join the wise men of the ages, and you will set off to Bethlehem. By the world's standards, I am not a wise man, but God has chosen what the world calls foolish and weak to confound the mighty. The wise men opened their treasures. And so I have brought the treasure chest of God's word this morning, filled with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I shall do my best to show the wisdom and glory of God in Christmas. Matthew begins with the genealogy. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. Judah begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. David begot Solomon, a she who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren. Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiah. Abiah begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eliah. Eliah begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan. Matthan begot Jacob. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Long awaited. Very much expected that every mother that ever gave birth to a man child thought maybe, but they had no idea that the father of this child would be God Almighty and that he would be a miracle of miracles of God becoming flesh. Joseph had no idea that he was marrying so well. But God chose him to be a protector, a supporter, a guide, and a governor in his little holy family to bring the world a Savior. We learn that he was not only humble, he was graceful. And when he heard the news, immediately he thought, how could this be? And an angel of God came and spoke to him and explained to him something the world had never seen before. He was about to put her away privately because he had such grace and disappointment. And the angel told him, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is born of her is of the Holy Ghost. And he believed it. And there comes a time in every person's life where God sends an angel, which means messenger, to every single soul to let them know that he loves them so much. And he went to such great lengths that he came into this world to visit mankind that they might know him. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Behold, said Isaiah, he shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Wow. A governor that shall rule his people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he went and sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And you know what happened. You know that God knows the heart. And Herod never heard the word of God again. This might be the last time somebody hears the word of God. As a matter of fact, when his son, who took over the place of king, stood over the Lord Jesus asking him questions, the Bible says he answered him not a word. Cursed to the second and third generations. Herod didn't hear the word again. His father had an opportunity to follow the wise men and bow down. How the world might have changed had that actually occurred. The wise men brought gold. The Bible is a gold standard. The golden ratio and the golden rule. What men call gold standard is the best and most reliable. The Bible is the rule by which we measure truth in weight, worth, and value. The wise men brought the Christ child gold, a gift recognizing sovereignty. Sovereign means the highest. That is why David, in Psalm 19, speaking of God's word, said it is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. In 1849, gold was discovered in California, and the historic gold rush began. Men loaded their Conestoga wagons and set out for California to search for gold with their picks and shovels and to stake a claim, hoping to get rich. Many were disappointed and found nothing. As the gold standard, the Bible is not only filled with treasure, it is also the measure, as it contains the golden rule. Of course, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It is also the golden ratio, mathematically an irrational number, 1.618033399, so on and so forth. The golden ratio is a special ratio between two quantities, in which the ratio between those two quantities is equal to the ratio of their sum. Now, mathematician knows what I'm talking about. The rest of us have no idea. But it's something beautiful for a mathematician to see, and it's beautiful for an artist to see. It's called the golden ratio. It's seen in the number of petals on a flower, or in the shape of a pine cone, or the seashell, or the line of the nautilus. Artists find it aesthetically pleasing to the eye, balanced and symmetrical. Likewise, the Bible, with its principles, when applied, produce a beautiful and balanced life. And so we would say to someone, what are you waiting for? Many have said foolishly with Herod, bring me word again. Or perhaps like Festus and Felix in the book of Acts, who said, not now, we will perhaps talk about this some other time. But as with Herod, there never was another time, and he never heard the word of God again. The Magi opened their treasure and gave gifts. The word in the original Greek is the word thesaurus. How how appropriate when considering they came to worship the incarnate Word. Each of us in worship searches for the right words to offer up to Him. Each of us summons from the depths of our heart and our mind words that are worthy to give to Him. Some are golden, some are frankincense, and others are myrrh. I don't know how many wise men there were. I think there were three, because I can't imagine somebody who is a wise man not coming with the gift. That's just me. Maybe more, but I can't picture a wise man coming without a gift. And the Bible tells us in the King James Version, Matthew chapter 2, that they opened their treasures, and the word is thesaurus. I got one on my library shelf, filled with words. They opened their thesaurus, and they poured out, searched for words to pour out and lay at His feet. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Golden words are weighty and they shine. But when spoken in the Spirit, they shine on Him. When we have the privilege of having what we call breaking of bread, where a person doesn't have to be a priest or a member of the clergy or having some credentials to pour out a word on Him. Maybe a golden word about His sovereignty, His might, His power, His authority, His majesty. Or perhaps a word of frankincense, like an incense that raises up in praise. Just thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Or a word of myrrh that speak of His wounds as He was sacrificed on a cruel cross and suffered for our sins, so much so that some say that His back was like a plowed field. If anyone has ever seen a plowed field, freshly plowed, can't imagine what that must have felt like. And so we come and we worship Him like those wise men, and we bring a word. And sometimes someone's not eloquent, and so they open a little hymn book and they say, "Here's a word. Could we sing number so and so?" And I'm astonished that sometimes some will not even do that. It's called worship. And what a privilege we have that everyone who knows Him, every man here can be a priest of his own home as he pours out his own heart in thanksgiving to God Almighty. These wise men came with their gifts and with their treasures. Letters of the alphabet are plated into crowns and they are cast at His feet. The feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Logos, the Word. Some words awaken the senses like frankincense. They are spoken by those who have tasted and know that the Lord is good. In worship, the senses reach out and touch the hem of His seamless garment that smells of saffron, calamus, and of the rose of Sharon. Words of adoration pour forth from alabaster boxes, boxes broken from grateful hearts. They sing. Lastly, the Magi bring myrrh, not like Nicodemus, who brought this spice to the tomb, or like the soldiers that mixed it with the wine at the cross, but as, But as we speak words that remind us when we come into the upper room and worship that he paid a high price to secure a seat near him at his table. We are descendants of the wise men. We are a peculiar race who have been warned by God to go back home a different way than we came. No earthly thesaurus holds words rich enough, but even a widow's mites ring the bells of heaven when they drop into the poor box of our paltry acts of worship and we bow before our heavenly King. We don't know how many wise men there were, but make sure you are one of them. That you don't say, I'll maybe listen to the word of God some other time. There may never be another time. And so Christmas comes, 2025. The whole world has to agree that number comes from somewhere. And it comes from the incarnation of God stepping into history. And you and I should have another date that stands out from all others. It's when God stepped into your life and into my life. And we opened our hearts to let him in. One of the little poems A manger is a little place from which an ox is fed, but long ago on silent night it then became Christ's bed. The angels sang, men stood in awe, for there was Christ upon the straw. He had no throne, nor palace home, no crown upon his head. In eastern sky, a star on high began to burn and show the way. The wise men followed and drew nigh, and lowly shepherds bowed to pray. We too would come and worship thee, God's gift for all humanity, in faith to crown him Lord of all, whether in heaven high or lowly stall. There was no room in the village inn when you came to rescue us from sin. Our Savior, friend, and King thou art. You're always welcome in our heart. Everything before is called BC. Everything after is called AD, the year of our Lord. We spend the first half of our life trying to get. What did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? Everybody spends the first part trying to get. If we meet the Savior, the Lord of glory, we spend the second part trying to give. That is our calling and that is our mission. As the Father sent me, he said, so send I you. He who gives the most lives the most. Now, if I knew that, I wish I had knew that when I was younger. When Jesus died on the cross for my sins, he had nothing. He had given it all away. He had given it all away. Yvette has a friend named Stacy. She was visiting the other day having tea. Yvette's talking to her about Christ. And I see her walking through my house. She's carrying a lamp. That's my lamp. She gave it to Stacy. So she, because Stacy liked it. That's a nice lamp. If that's so, you can have it. And all the stuff we have in our house, I see it all the time going out the door. Somebody said, yeah, I like that. Yvette immediately says, you like that? Hey, it's yours. Whoa. And that's the truth. One day, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to say, I wish I had given more. Because the only thing that we keep are those things we give away. And Jesus gave it all away. At the cross, there was nothing left except for modesty. They took off his robe, kept that to the very end. They took it from him. Everything else was gone. What a secret of a God-filled life. And what we can give away this coming year is tell what God has done for us and what God can do for them. That it's wonderful to have Christmas presents, but it's more important to have Christmas presents. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the angels. Thank you for the wise men that you sent into our lives to point us to the cradle and to the cross. Help us, Lord, to live in the power of the AD and to thank you for taking us out of the BC and the darkness of sin. Use us, Lord, for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Good day and God bless you all.